At this point, more than 3 million people a day are getting coronavirus vaccines. And if you squint into the distance, you might see a day when life gets back to normal. But what does that even mean anymore? On the one hand, I long for things that used to bring me joy, but part of me is also dreading going back to a life that was full of social obligations, work commitments, rushing. Life has changed so much for so many people that the thought of emerging from the pandemic is bringing some of us a mix of joy and apprehension. We heard journalist and author Celeste Headlee talking about some of this recently on NPR's Life Kit podcast. She's a journalist and an author of the new book, Do Nothing: How to Break Away from Overworking, Overdoing, and Underliving. Celeste, welcome. And I wonder if you've been hearing from people who are feeling unsure right now.
I have. A lot of people are feeling really anxious. And it doesn't really surprise me because people feel anxious about small talk always. So when you aren't using your social skills, you know, like any other skill, it's like riding a bike, right? Just imagine that you haven't ridden your bike in more than a year. So be kind to yourself, because when you first jump back on that bike, you might be a little wobbly for a few blocks, but you will get back in the rhythm. And it's kind of that way with social skills. I know that people want to be protective of their alone time and not get overwhelmed. You know, I read somebody tweeted out that, you know, there's going to be a lot of awkwardness now that all those times we've said, oh, yeah, let's meet up after the pandemic, are those, you know, those IOUs are finally coming due. But I know that feels a little bit scary to people. At the same time, those authentic social interactions, that's not what you should be afraid of. Like meeting people in person, those are the kind of things that are actually incredibly good for you biologically and mentally.
You know what I think is really interesting is that I think for a lot of people, relationships have changed a lot in this pandemic. And maybe it's even like the priorities that we have for our relationships. You mentioned the idea of the overdue coffee date that you've been promising for months now. Like in some ways that feels, after all this, like less important. Now, I'm not saying it is, but I'm saying it feels kind of less important than having like a chance to sit down with your elderly parents again for the first time, because we suddenly know what that feels like to not
have that
something
available.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
I think that's totally correct. You know, if anything else, I hope that people come out of this and are a little more intentional about their social choices. Because in the days before COVID-19, it's quite possible people chose to have the quick coffee with the friend because that was easy, and avoided for a really long time having that more lengthy and more meaningful dinner with their grandparents. And I hope that calculus has changed so that people can really think to themselves, okay, I only have a certain amount of social energy. Where should I invest it?
What about work? Celeste, you wrote this book, Breaking Away from Overworking and Overdoing Everything in Life. So many people, if they've been lucky enough to keep their job, have suddenly been presented with this fact that they're not rushing into an office. What about this idea of going back to work?
So this is one of the places in which I'm a little bit pessimistic. And the reason for that is because we kind of doubled down on a lot of unhealthy habits during the pandemic. The early research that we have, the data that we have right now, shows that actually people are working more hours during the pandemic than they were before, and taking more meetings than they were before. And this is what worries me, is as people get back to work, that they're actually going to sustain these very, very, very unhealthy habits that they've developed, in which they allow work to claim their entire household. Meaning that when people got sick of sitting at their desk at home, they would just pick up their laptop and move to the kitchen, or pick up their laptop and move to the living room, which unfortunately is what you do when you're trying to teach your brain that your entire house is for work. Right? Like when a doctor is trying to help you sleep, that doctor will tell you to use your bed for nothing but sleep, because you're training your brain that when it lies down in bed, it's time to go to sleep. Well, when you are working from every corner of your house, you are literally training your brain that when you come home, you're still at work. I really hope that is not going to continue as we come out of COVID-19.
But it might. And it might because I think a lot of people who are home are going to stay home.
I agree. We really have to establish boundaries. When I was talking about boundaries in terms of your social life, that is especially true with your work life. And I want people to start thinking about this with the kind of intentionality as though they themselves were their own little business that they were listing on Google, right? If you had to create a business entry for yourself, for Peter, what would you be your opening hours and what would you be your closing hours? Are you closed on holidays? Are you not? Like, figure out what your schedule is. And during those times when you're not working, don't work. Do not check your email real quick. Don't take a quick peek at Slack. I would suggest staying away from social media if you possibly can, but establish your work hours. This should not make you nervous unless you're super violating this. Are you super violating this, Peter?
Of course I am. Of course I am. And I'd be surprised if you're not either. But you know, here's the answer to your question. You know, I'm a radio broadcaster. My day starts at 4 a.m. and I'm done at 1. And then, you know, the news kind of follows me all day long. So what you're saying is right. But it's tough. It's tough for people. Now, we've been talking about socializing. We've been talking about work. I wonder, just to play devil's advocate here, if we're not sort of like overanalyzing this in a way. Because when I go outside of my home in Phoenix, I see hundreds of people every day who are acting like nothing ever happened. On the other hand, you know, some people have never had the luxury of changing the way they lived in this last year because they had to go to work at the grocery store. They're risking their lives. And I think for that reason, when we emerge out of this and his life returns to quote unquote normal, do you think it might be hard to relate to one another?
Okay. So there's good and bad news here. I think the good news is that we now have something in common. The bad news is that that thing in common is a shared trauma that we have all just been through a really, really tough year. And there's no suffering Olympics. Some people have had harder times than others, but it's been hard for everybody. And so there is common ground in which we can each say to each other when we meet again in the office, wow, what did the pandemic look like for you? How did you get through it? What kind of tips do you have on getting back to some semblance of well-being? Mm-hmm. We can share that conversation, and I hope that we do rather than avoid it. There's also good and bad news when it comes to whether there's going to be more divisiveness, because there will be. So rather than avoiding the conversations that might become arguments, I hope we can learn how to not have arguments and still have the conversation.
Tough if you haven't socialized in a while to be walking right into that. Do you think there are things that you're going to try to preserve about your lifestyle over the past year that developed during COVID?
Yeah, I mean, I think I've become very aware before COVID, before my business and my world kind of came to a crashing halt, I really was sort of on autopilot. And I had made rules for myself, I'd established boundaries, but basically, I just kept going. And I think that over the pandemic, because I've been forced to really slow everything down, I have realized how healthy it is to be able to have the kind of flexibility to where if I'm not feeling good, I don't force myself to concentrate. You know, I can focus and really work for 15 minutes at a time and then go take 5 to 10 minutes as a break and then come back to it. You know, the one phrase I wish would die in the fiery pits of hell is rise and grind. Because I feel like we all kind of grind ourselves down. And if there's anything I want to preserve, it's I stopped grinding. There's no more Celeste's nose to the grindstone. Mm-hmm. I take breaks.
As we should. Yeah. Author, journalist, Celeste Headlee, thank you so much. You take the stress right out of conversation, so I do appreciate that.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.